psychologists, relationship experts. You'll often hear them talk about friendships, and they define friendships sort of in kind of four categories. You have your acquaintances, and then you have your casual friends, and then you have your close friends, and then they have what your intimate friends. And I've read a little bit about those things, and I would like to add another level of friendship to that list if I could, and that's the friends who help you move friendship. Because it's those friends that are willing to come and help you move. Boy, those are true friends, are they not? Because that's a lot of work moving. And the thing is, we all need help when we have to move. Some of us, if you got enough money, you'll hire people to help you move. But if you got to and you got to beg your friends and offer them pizza or whatever it is, you know, you've got to find help, because that couch is not a one-man job. Sometimes it's a two- or three-man job. And if you got to go up or down stairs, like when helping move people into apartments, that's really fun, moving a couch up the stairs and making the corner. And we all need help sometimes. Maybe you've started a project. I've done this many times, and I get into it, and I think I can do it myself. And I get halfway through the project, I'm like, I'm not real sure what I'm doing anymore. I got to call and ask somebody for help. And we all need, you know, emotional help. We all have those days, we all have those times, we all have those moments where we just need somebody to talk to, somebody that'll just listen, or maybe somebody that can give us advice because we just don't know where to turn. And we all need spiritual help. But let's be honest, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you in here struggle at asking for help? Yeah, right? It's hard, isn't it? We don't like to ask for help. And I think there's multiple reasons why. I know we don't want to bother people. And we don't want to put them out. Sometimes we don't want to ask for help because, well, we're like the four-year-old that says, I can do it myself, right? Mom's trying to help them. They're like, leave me alone, Mom. I can do it myself. But we struggle in asking for help because we think we can do it ourselves. The truth of the matter is, you can't do a God-sized work without God's help. And that's what we want to talk about today. We're going to be in John chapter 14. And we're going to finish John chapter 14 today as we're walking through the Gospel of John. And we're in the section, it's right before the crucifixion. This is the night before Jesus is going to the cross to be crucified for your sins and for mine. And he's spending this evening talking to his closest friends. And we're going to finish the last half of John chapter 14. Judas Iscariot has already left to betray him, and he's been talking to his 11 closest friends who he's going to leave with the great responsibility of spreading the word about the gospel of Jesus Christ once he leaves. And if you'll remember last week, he told them, he said, look, I'm leaving. You can't come where I'm going right now. I'll come back and get you. And they got so focused on the fact that he says, I'm leaving, that they kind of missed the main point of the message or the thing that he was trying to tell them. He says, look, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to come back and get you. But while I'm gone, this is the most important commandment that you need to follow. And what it was the most important commandment that they needed to follow that Jesus told them? Anybody remember? Love one another as I have loved you. That he left them with this command, that you are to love each other the way that I loved you. And they kind of missed it at first because they were all worried about him leaving. And they're like, well, what are we going to do without Jesus here? But Jesus, just love each other. Now, Jesus taught a lot of things, but it all starts from that point. Well, here's the deal. If we love each other the way God loved us, that's a God-sized task, is it not? And you cannot, and I cannot, do a God-sized task without God's help. It is impossible. We are not smart enough. We are not strong enough. We cannot do God's work without His help in our lives. And so Jesus says, just relax. I'm going to send somebody to help you while I'm gone. We call Him the Holy Spirit. And as I told our morning life group, we're studying the power of the names of the Holy Spirit for this six-week period. And I didn't plan this sermon to follow after this morning's lesson. But man, do they not beautifully tie in together. And I'm always amazed at how God says, just trust me and follow through. Because honestly, I had planned to be done with the Gospel of John about 2 months ago. And here we are in September. And I'm hoping we're done by Christmas so we can do some Christmas messages, but I don't know. We'll find out. I mean, we got a few more chapters to go, but it's okay. God has been working and planning out because he knows you and I need help, just like the apostles. They had a God-sized task, share the gospel with all the world, and they knew they needed help. So we're going to continue the story. We're going to continue the conversation between Jesus and his closest friends, and Jesus knows in just a few hours I'm going to be arrested and I'm going to be crucified. He continues to talk to them. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus ties love with obedience. And we're going to see that over and over again through this passage. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So Jesus says, all right, while I'm gone, you just obey the things that I've taught, and I'm going to send to you another helper. And it's so interesting. Tony Evans mentioned this last week, and he's like, yeah, because I love this Greek word. And I can get into Greek words sometimes, and this is a good one. There's two different Greek words for another. There's the another that's another of a different kind, and then there's another of the same kind. I can explain it like this. If you had somebody said, well, I've got a German Shepherd, and I have another dog that's a boxer. That's another dog, but it's a different kind of dog. So you'd use another of a different kind. But a person who says, well, I have a German Shepherd, and I have another German Shepherd. That's a different Greek word that they use. It's another of the same kind. The Greek word that's used here is another of the same kind. So what Jesus is telling his apostles, and they understood this, that I'm sending just another person of the Godhead, another person of the Holy Trinity to come, and he's going to help you just like I've been helping you. Because I'm sure they're thinking about the last 3 to 3.5 years as they've walked with Jesus. And they've been through some struggles, and they've seen some great stuff, and they've been persecuted. They remember John 6 where the crowd got all upset and angry, and they started leaving, and it was becoming chaotic, and they're getting a little bit nervous. And Jesus is just like, what is? Just, you know, relax, breathe. Where's your faith? Don't be afraid. And Jesus was with them every step of the way. And now he says, look, somebody else is going to come, and he's going to help you just like I've been helping you for the last 3 years. And it's not just for the apostles, it's for all of us. Anyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the Bible teaches us this next part. The Holy Spirit comes, he will be in you, and he will be with you. The Holy Spirit dwells within the believer, speaking to you, talking to you, helping you. But he also walks with you as you go throughout your day. But how often we ignore him and we don't think about it. And what we're doing is we have this help of the Creator with us all the time, yet we choose to go, I can do it myself. It's not real smart, but it is the way we work and it is the way we function because we struggle with asking for help. And as Jesus continues through the end of John chapter 14, there are five areas that he points out to his apostles and to you and me where the Holy Spirit will help. And this is not all-inclusive of the Holy Spirit, but these are the five that Jesus talks about before he gets ready to leave. And we're going to look at these five real briefly today. He continues, he goes, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, and I think he's speaking of the day of Pentecost, at that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commands and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest or reveal or show myself to him. And the first area that the Holy Spirit comes to help you and I in this world, as we walk in this broken life and in this broken world, he is to help us with obedience over and over and over again. Jesus says, if you love me, obey my teachings. And I'm sure part of them are going, wait a minute, you said an awful lot of things over 3 years. I can't hardly remember any of them. I mean, that's like getting a college degree. 3 years walking with Jesus is getting a college degree. And I can't remember all that stuff they tried to teach me in my college age. It's a lot to remember. He says, look, the Holy Spirit's here, and he's going to help you obey these things because you don't have the ability to obey God and to follow God and walk with God in your own power. We must have the help of the Holy Spirit with us each and every day to do what we are obeyed to do. If we're going to love each other the way God has called us to love each other, we've got to have help. If we're going to respond to that person at work who speaks so negatively about us, we can only do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. If we're going to witness to that person that God's laid on our heart, we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. If we need to know what direction we need to move in this day and how we are to work and how we're to move and how we're to obey the teachings of God, it is the Holy Spirit that empowers us and enables us to obey. But when we say, don't worry about it, God, I can handle it, I can do it myself, God sits there and goes, okay, let's see what happens. And we tell God, I can handle it, I can do it myself, and then when we do it ourselves, what happens? Yeah, usually something not good, right? And then we're stuck with these consequences, and we go, God, why did you do this to me? And God's like, if you'd have just listened to me in the first place, you wouldn't be in this mess. We ignore God, we refuse his help, and we think that we can do it on our own, and we make a mess of things. Oh, but God is so gracious. He says, just confess your sins. You come back. I'm standing here with open arms. I'll always welcome you back. But the Holy Spirit, number one, is to help us with obedience. Number two, we see in verses 22 to 24. Judas, not Iscariot, there were two Judases in the crowd. He said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, and he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and look at this, and we, plural, we will come to him and make our, plural again, our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So Judas has a good question, a very legitimate question here. Okay, you're going to manifest yourself to us after you leave. You're going to show yourself to us after you leave. I don't understand how that works, because he's thinking Jesus is standing there and he's physically there. They're talking to him, they hear him, they can touch him, they can see him, and the rest of the world can too. The rest of the world has seen, they've listened, they've talked to Jesus, they've heard from Jesus. So he's thinking, wait a minute, well, how are you going to be able to show yourself to us but not to everybody else? Because he's thinking in physical terms. But the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he helps us see who Jesus is. And he manifests Jesus when he comes into our hearts and in our lives. But the point that Jesus makes here, he says, look, we will come to him. We will come to the person who accepts me as Lord and Savior. We will come to the follower. We will come to the Christian and make our home, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, make our home with him. God is a community. God is a Trinity, three in one. I can't explain it. One being expressed in three persons, and that's about as close as I can get. Our feeble minds can't comprehend, and we're not going to try to, but we understand the Bible teaches it. But one is a single, two is a couple, three is a community. Anything above three is just a bigger community. And Genesis tells us that you and I are made in the image of God. Part of being made in the image of God is being made for community. You and I were not created to go it alone. We were created to be a part of the community of God. And when we talk about it, when we come to Christ, we become placed into the family of God. That's the word we use, family, the local body of believers. And as we come together as a local body, as a local church, as a local family, we are a part of the community of God, but we're still broken, are we not? We're all still human, are we not? We all still make mistakes. We all still say that stupid thing that we shouldn't have said, or we forgot to do that thing that we promised we would do. We all have that brokenness that when we come together as a church and a community, that we bring it all with us, and it causes friction from time to time. Well, the Holy Spirit helps us with our community. He helps us respond the way that God has called us to respond, right? Love each other. He helps us to remember, oh yeah, I need to do this. The Holy Spirit wants to help our community and in our church. I've heard way too many people, and I've made several people mad when they say, I don't need church. I can worship God on my fishing boat. It's true. You can worship God on your fishing boat. You will never be all you can be. You will never reach your full potential outside of the body of Christ. You are created for community. You are created to be a part of community. And I know it's hard sometimes. And I know it hurts sometimes because somebody said something that offended you or somebody said something that made you mad or hurt your feelings. It happens, and I get it. And should it happen? No, but it does. That's where we need the power of God to work in our lives, to learn how to forgive the way God forgave us, to learn how to love the way God loves us, to where to come together to work out the differences, where we say, what you did hurt my feelings, and we work it out. Any church that likes to pretend that they don't have problems is not being honest with themselves. And for those that are newer here, right, we've seen this massive growth in the last 6 months. And as we've experienced, massive growth causes issues from time to time. It happens, people. We're not perfect. So we need the Holy Spirit to guide and direct and teach and lead us to be the best community we can be. Not the perfect community, but the community that's the best that we can be to reach our community for Jesus Christ. And we must say, Holy Spirit, we need your help. We can't tell God, all right, God, we've got it figured out from here on. That is not the formula. So the Holy Spirit helps us in obedience. He helps us in community. Let's look at the third one. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and look, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So he's telling them, and he's speaking specifically to his apostles at this point, but this principle applies to you and me also. Because they're thinking, how are we going to remember everything you said? How are we going to just figure all that out? And Jesus says, look, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will help you with understanding. He will help you with obedience. He will help you with community. He will help you with understanding. He will call to mind all the things that I taught you for the last 3 years. He will help you remember it. And more than that, he will help you understand what it is that I was teaching you. Because remember a couple of weeks ago, John told us we didn't understand all that stuff when it was going on. But after the resurrection, we were like, oh yeah. The Holy Spirit brings to mind and he brings to remembrance and he helps you understand the Word of God. This is why you can read a passage of Scripture and you can understand it. An unbeliever reads it and it's clueless to them. Not that an unbeliever can't understand lots of the Bible, but you have an insight into the Scriptures and the Word of God that the unbeliever doesn't have. And if you're a Christian long enough and if you read your Bible enough time, you'll have this phenomenon happen to you that's happened to me many, many times. I'll be reading a passage of Scripture and I'll go, I know I've read that before, but I don't remember that. It's like the Holy Spirit went, okay, you're ready to learn something new. Watch this. And boom, and my brain goes off, and I get all excited, and I'm like, man, let's go preach right now. Can't wait to talk to everybody on Sunday. Because the Holy Spirit just illuminated something in my life that I was ready for in that moment. And as we grow and as we mature in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will bring to mind, he will bring to remembrance, he will help you understand Scriptures in a way that you didn't understand before. So he is here to help you understand. But you got to read the Bible. I mean, he's not going to walk up and just dump it inside of your head. You got to read it and then ask him to help. But he will help you with understanding. He will help you with obedience. He will help you with community. He will help you with understanding. And number four, Jesus continues. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And as the world gives, do I give to you? Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And just real quick, we're not going to dive into the theology here, but Jesus is not saying I am inferior to God the Father there. He is simply making a statement of the fact that as he is here in this world, in this body, he gave up, or he temporarily put on hold some of his divine qualities. But he's going to go back to the Father, where he's going to sit on the throne, and he's going to be glorious just like the Father. He's not saying he's inferior. He's just saying in this moment in time, God knows everything, and at the moment I'm a little bit limited by my choice. But anyway, that's another subject for another day. But the Holy Spirit, number four, helps us with peace. For so many people, what do you want? I want some peace. In some of my research, and I was looking for, what is it that people are searching for? What are people longing for? What are people looking for? There were four things that came up every single time. It was worded in all kinds of different ways, but it all came back to these four things: love, joy, peace, and purpose. That's what everybody's looking for. They may word it a little bit different. Some people will say, I want money. And what they meant by that is money brings security. And what does security bring you? It brings you peace. Love, joy, peace, and purpose. The Holy Spirit will bring all of those things to you. That's why you can be walking through the midst of the darkest storm of your life and still experience the peace of God, because you know that I am walking with Jesus. That when we do the next right thing and we are living right and we know that there is no known sin in my life and yet there's still a problem, then we know that God is going to help us through it. If there is sin in my life, the Holy Spirit's going to say, well, let's get this right first. But however it works out, the Holy Spirit will bring into your life a peace that passes all understanding, regardless of the storm that you're going through in this life. There is a peace that cannot be explained, that you cannot express. I think sometimes I experience a peace and you experience a peace that you really can't explain to another Christian. But you can say, God's just given me a peace. And they're like, okay, I know that part. An unbeliever doesn't understand it. The Holy Spirit brings into your life a peace. So here's a trick. If you're not peaceful, you're not walking with the Holy Spirit. That's hard to hear sometimes, is it? If you're not peaceful, you're not fulfilling, or you don't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit of peace in you in that moment. You can get it back super quick, but when you're not peaceful, that's not the work of the Holy Spirit. Number five. And now, I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may, what? Believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, that's Satan, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. And he says, arise, let us go from here. And they leave the room where they had the Lord's Supper, and they're headed out towards the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, Satan's coming, but Satan has nothing in me, or Satan has no claim on me, is what he's saying here. Because Jesus Christ, God in a body, lived a holy, perfect, righteous life. So when he died on the cross, he died holy and perfect in righteousness. Absolutely no sin whatsoever. And because there was no sin, Satan had no claim on him. Satan only has claims on those who are dead in their sins and trespasses. So Jesus is like, Satan's coming and he wants me, but I'm not worried about it because he's got no claim on me. But here's the thing. He said, I'm telling you this now so that when it happens, you'll go, oh yeah, Jesus predicted this. Jesus predicted his death, his burial, his resurrection. Jesus predicted so many things while they were walking with him, and it would come true. He goes, I'm telling you these things now. I'm predicting these things now so that you will believe. Or another way to say it, and so that your faith will grow. The Holy Spirit helps grow your faith. When the Holy Spirit helps you obey, be part of a community, helps you understand the Scriptures, and brings you a peace from following the words and the will of God, he helps your faith grow. And there's much more that the Holy Spirit does for us in this world. But those are the five big ones. You want to increase your faith, you got to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. You got to remember that, yes, he is inside me, instructing me, but he's also here with me, beside me, to help me. And I kind of thought about this to try to describe that concept. I know that my examples aren't always perfect. It's kind of hard to describe what God does for us. But I thought about of a father, and he's teaching his son how to work on a car. And he tells the son, okay, go get your 9/16 wrench, and you want to turn this bolt, and you want to loosen this bolt, And as he's talking to him, that's the way the Holy Spirit works in us. He's teaching, telling us, this is what you do and this is how you do it. But his son at some point gets to where, I can't get this off. I can't remove the alternator. I can't. And so the father then has to reach down and has to help, physically help the son take the alternator off. That's the Holy Spirit with you. He's in you, teaching you, guiding you, telling you, use that wrench. Don't say that, right? Do say this. Don't go there. But then there's times where he walks along with us and he protects us from things and he guides and he directs and he helps us get through stuff. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, the question then remains, well, how do I get this help? How do I get the help of the Holy Spirit? First off, if you're an unbeliever, if you've never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, that is the first step. To surrender your life to Christ, to confess your sins before God. If you will confess your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So that is the first step for the unbeliever. But for the believer, how do I get this help? Well, I got three simple things for you. Well, number one is ask. Now, that's profound, is it not? Yeah, ask. It's not easy. It's simple, but it ain't easy. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus, in his famous Sermon on the Mount that he preached over and over and over again, in Matthew 7, he said, ask and you will find. Ask, it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Jesus says you've got to ask. Because God is with you, God is in you, God wants to walk with you, God wants to help you, but God will not force himself on you. God wants to be asked. One of the things that we've talked about the last 2 weeks of the Holy Spirit is it's a good reminder that the Holy Spirit is a person. And he wants a relationship with you. And you've got to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit in order to get his help. So you need to ask for his help. When you get up in the mornings, ask for help as you go throughout your day. But too often we walk throughout our day and we forget that we've got God on our side. Too often we walk throughout our day and we ignore the Holy Spirit. And all the while he's waiting, wanting to help, but we're not asking. Well, the second one then is we've got to act. James 2:20, faith without works is dead. Some translations say faith without works is useless. I like that word better. They both work. But faith without works is dead. You've got to do your part. If you ask somebody to come over and help you move, well, let's flip it. Let's make it better. If someone asks you to come and you're going to help them move, and you show up 9 o'clock in the morning, and they're sitting on the couch, and they're eating some chips, and they're drinking a soda, and they're like, yeah, that chair needs to go in the truck. And they sit there, and they expect you to do all the work. How are you going to feel? You think that level of friendship might have just went, woo, right? Too often, we ask of the Holy Spirit, but then we don't want to do our part. You must take that first step. I can remember many times sitting out there listening to a sermon. God working, wanted me to move. Need to go forward and pray. That hardest step was always the first step. The hardest step was that step to step out into the aisle. And it's like once you stepped out into the aisle to go forward, the Holy Spirit carries you right along. And it's the same for you. You take that first step and you will find that the Holy Spirit will help you with the next one. But you must take your first step. So we ask and then we act. We do the next step, right? Do the next right thing. One of the values that we preach here, you do the next right thing, whatever it is. Just that next right step, you do that. And then the last one is you acknowledge God. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And all your steps, as you go throughout today, you acknowledge that God is right with you. God, yes, you are here. Thank you for being with me. And you acknowledge and you recognize that He is here. And then when He does something in your life, you've got to say, thank you, God. Because you ever done something for somebody and they didn't bother to say thank you? Hurts, doesn't it? Give God the glory and the thanks. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So when this Holy Spirit comes and you ask Him for help and you take that step and you discover that God helped you do something that was on your heart, you then got to acknowledge God and thank Him for that. But then you also need to publicly proclaim to other people that God has been working and God is in moving. We don't spill all our details, but we certainly got to give the glory for the things that are going on in our lives. And when you give God the glory for the things that He is doing in your life, it develops that relationship between you and the Holy Spirit. So learn to acknowledge God both privately and publicly. Recently, I had someone compliment me on all the great work I'm doing here at the church, and I was so embarrassed. I shouldn't have been. When someone gives you a compliment, the appropriate response is thank you. But my initial thing was like, I haven't done a thing. And I did say this, God is doing the work, and God truly is doing the work. But I am thankful for the role that He has allowed me to play here. But it was a little hard to hear, because I want to give God the glory. And we all struggle with that too when you get compliments. Say thank you. Be polite. And it's true. I'm certainly nothing special, but God brought me here. I'm convinced of this, and I'm so grateful. And I want to say thank you to God publicly for allowing me to be a part of what's going on in our church. God is moving. God is working. The Holy Spirit is working in this place. And I hope He continues, and I pray that He continues, and He will continue as we continue to stay surrendered to Him. If you want the Holy Spirit to move you, ask, act, and acknowledge. That is His role, and He wants to develop that relationship with you, but you must do your part. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes in prayer. We're going to play a song here in just a moment, give you an opportunity to come and pray if God has moved in your heart. I'd like to ask maybe Brother Johnny if you wouldn't mind coming and sitting up here in case someone needs to pray. And while we're doing the song, I'm going to go get ready. We're going to get ready for a baptism that's coming up. Such a wonderful thing. And we're going to have a short little video before the baptism. But if God's worked in your heart, God has moved in your life, and you need to come forward and pray, and you want to pray with somebody, Johnny will be here, my wife will be here. But you respond to God as He has spoken to you. Oh, dear Father in heaven, I thank You for Your love in our lives. I thank You for Your blessings. Holy Spirit, we thank You that You came, because we cannot do the God-sized work that You have placed Him in our midst without Your help. We are merely human beings who want to do Your work. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Bless you.